If you would, turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 45. My thought for this afternoon is, are you on a mission? And we'll begin with considering Joseph here. Joseph had a mission. It may have taken a while in his life before he realized it, but he had a mission. We begin at verse 3. chapter 45 of the book of Genesis. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are five years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. If you remember, in the story of Joseph, that's a young boy, he dreamed dreams and related those dreams to his brothers, and they were jealous of him and had contempt for him and sold him into slavery. And it took many years of his life before Joseph may have realized that God had a purpose for him. He lived his life always with that purpose, to serve God, but there was a mission that he had for him, and that was to deliver the tribe of Israel's his father's family through this famine, a 7-year famine. And this would preserve the Israelites. Also, let's consider Esther. She had a mission. We'll go to the book of Esther in chapter 4. Story of Esther. At this time, there was a man named Haman who was second in command only to the king, and he besought the king to allow him to make a decree that all the Jews would be, I guess for a better word, slaughtered, that they'd remove all the Jews from the kingdom. And he had been granted that ability to do that and make that decree. And word got sent to Esther, and this was as she had became queen by this time. And we begin in chapter 4, book of Esther, and verses 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to this kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai, her relative, has let her know that this may be the thing that she is here for. This is her mission. Her mission to deliver the Jews from the plot of Haman to have them destroyed. Next, we just studied a couple, last Wednesday night, class period, in the book of Mark in chapter 5, the healing of the demonic man that was possessed with many devils. That was in chapter 5 of the book of Mark. And after he had been healed and Jesus was ready to depart, and that beginning verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that hath been possessed with the devil prayed at him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, now he gives the demonic his own man his own mission here. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. So he directed him to go home and tell his home people, his town people, the people knew him, to profess to them the things that Jesus had done for him. So that was his mission. Then we think of the apostles in Matthew chapter 10, as Jesus sent them out on a limited commission. Beginning in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he directed them on a limited basis that they were only to go to those people of the tribe of Israel. They weren't to go to the Gentiles, they weren't to go to Samaria. They were simply to go to the Israelites. And we want to realize we all have a special work. We have this all. We all have this special mission that we are to be on. I'm going to consider a couple of scriptures. And the first being in Matthew chapter 28. In the last two verses of that chapter. Verses 19 and 20. As he's speaking to the apostles here before he departs. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But I also want to look at the book of Mark in chapter 13. Beginning in verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Let's look at that phrase of every man. That every man is directed to each and every one of us. As Jesus departed, just as this man that left his house and gave authority. He's been given us authority. He's given us direction that every man has a work to do. So every man has a mission. We all have a mission. One of the things we must have to start with is willingness. The book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to go Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And also in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians in chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberty. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. We must have willingness. And the next thing we need to have, We have to have cooperation with God. We have to be in cooperation with God. Flip just a couple pages over into 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Then let's go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And we'll begin in verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we have to have the cooperation and be in cooperation of God's word. The foundation is laid that is laid in Jesus Christ can't be changed. Next, we're required by our ability. And we'll go to another familiar story in Matthew chapter 25. The parable of the talents. Beginning in chapter 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Excuse me. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he had received one, went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought his 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast thine talent. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and thoughtful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall he be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've always kind of considered, I'll never considered myself to really be the 10 talent person or the 5 talent person. we want to understand through this story, even if we're not the 5 to 10 talent person, we still have an obligation, we still have a mission that we need to carry out what abilities we have. Even if you are the one talent man, you need to have and make use of that talent for the good of the Lord and his service. You're not to bury your talent in the ground to be hid. Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as oracles God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So even if we are that one talent man, we need to use those things for the glorification of Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior. I want to consider a couple other things of consideration of a couple things that come to my mind when I was reading in John it was a week and a half ago when I done the invitation on Wednesday night. But first we'll start in John, and I want to realize that sometimes some of the simplest things we can do, how great of effect they can have. And I want to think of Andrew. Now, we're not told a whole lot of things about Andrew, but there's one thing that he significantly did that we want to consider, and that's in the first chapter of John, verse 40 through 42. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Would Andrew necessarily have to went and get his brother to let him know they had found the Messiah? No, not necessarily. But how important was it that he did? That one simple act that Andrew did played into being very important. If you look in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, and beginning in verse 14, we're here on the day of Pentecost. And it begins in verse 14, it says, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is the beginning of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And we consider how many souls were saved on this day. If you read down through the end, there was 3,000 were saved that day. 3,000, it says 3,000 converted. How important was that simple act of Andrew going getting his brother Peter or Simon? And also want to consider the story I read. I won't read the whole thing, but in John chapter 4. And beginning in verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Now we know Jesus talked to a lot of people and done a lot of miracles and things, but It struck me interesting that at this time of talking to this one woman at the well and starting this conversation of just give me to drink. And I've considered a lot of times in this thing is of John Isaac, the times he's talked about striking up a conversation with someone, striking up a conversation with somebody sitting beside on an airplane and having a Bible study with them. But I thought of this simple act here of Jesus talking to this one single woman as she come to the well, and how important that played out in the story. At the end of this story, as she left and went back to the town. Now we can't, obviously we can't tell what someone's done through their whole life, and well, knows we need to, but sometimes converting that one person, just as this Jesus convincing her, as she goes back to the town and says, come, in verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out to the out of the city and came unto him. So when he convinced her, what did she do? She went back and told the whole city what who and what she had found, and brought them out to see him. And I thought that interesting too, as you get down farther, as he's talking to you, the apostles here, beginning in verse 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. I thought that was interesting, kind of thinking in my mind that as she's went to talk to these people, that Jesus knows they're coming out to meet him and talk to him, and telling his apostles that, do you not see this harvest in front of you? Here are these souls that need to be saved. And it just kind of, I've read this story a number of times over the years, but I guess I read it a little different the other day. And maybe I realized a few things about this story when I read it through a number of times. That how interesting it was that Jesus observed in his knowing men's hearts, that the harvest, here's the harvest before you. Be ready to take that harvest. Be able to be ready to act upon that harvest. So that was just a couple of a single people I thought was interesting at how much the conversion of those two people influenced many others. And even some with us, sometimes one simple act or that one simple conversion may be on down the road very influential in the growth of the church. And lastly, we need to carry it to completion. If you're reading the book of John in chapter 19, in verse 30, this is the scene of Jesus on the cross. And he says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Also in the book of Acts in chapter 20. Verse 24. But none of these things move me, and neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And also in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, in verse 7. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And also the one in verse chapter 2 of Revelation in verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. For none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. So we need to finish that course until the end of our life. And that's how long our mission is. I do remember a few years ago, it's been a while, hearing a preacher talk about retirement, putting money in his IRA so he could retire. And then I thought it interesting to meet, think of his name, your dad. He's over 65 and he's not retired, is he? He's 90. And I guess I really wouldn't consider him retired either. What's that?
He preaches every Sunday
morning, Sunday night. So I've thought that interesting contrast of two people I've known that there were preachers, the one that was thinking of retirement and another that I don't know if has he ever mentioned retirement. But I thought that was interesting to finishing your work and considering meeting Johnny Edwards when we came over here. So just a few things to consider. I hope it's been beneficial for you as it was for me to consider these things. And we certainly don't want to take our talent, and maybe I diminish my talent a little bit than what it really is, but I've always tried to be pretty humble about thinking about myself and my shortcomings. But we want to consider, too, how influential that one thing we may do or that one act we may of doing something good, how beneficial that may be in the long run for the work of the church. At this time, I want to offer an invitation. If there's anything that anyone needs, if you've heard and you believe, you need to repent, need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and maybe need to be baptized, or if you need to, you've fallen away and need to return, and the prayers of the congregation come as we stand and sing number 607.